Voice of Lightner Communications. It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Are the Steelers a Super Bowl contender? Penn State a national championship contender? We got a lot of good football stuff to discuss here over the next few weeks. This is Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you for joining me. This is going to kind of be an ongoing topic here over the next few weeks. Which team has a legitimate shot, do you think, of actually contending for a championship? The Steelers are sitting here in first place, 8-2. Are they a great team? Not necessarily. Are the Chiefs a great team? We've been looking at the Chiefs as the barometer in the AFC, obviously, two-time defending champs, but the Chiefs are beatable. They lose yesterday to the Bills, their first loss, but the Chiefs have been skating by a good bit this year without playing great. They're beatable. Could the Steelers beat them? Steelers play them in regular season here before too long. Penn State goes to Purdue, destroys that awful team. Is Penn State a legitimate contender? 946-0435. We'll take your calls today. Lots of good football stuff. Anything else that's on your mind, we can discuss. But some good football wrap-up today. Steelers-Ravens has long been just such a tremendous rivalry. Close games, two teams that know each other very, very well. Games have generally been meaningful, maybe not for the past couple years with the Steelers being down, but for a long, long time, AFC North bragging rights on the lines. All these games decided by less than 3 points. And Steelers end up pulling it out yesterday. They hold on a two-point conversion, and they survive. I discussed this on the Black and Gold Breakdown show last week that, you know, we can analyze these games. This is what we do in football. Well, this is what Russell Wilson's got to do. This is what the offensive line's got to do. This is what Najee Harris's got to do. This is what George Pickens's got to do. This is what the defense's got to do. This is what T.J. Watt's got to do. This is what Mike Tomlin's got to do. A lot of times games come down to kickers. We don't like to just default our football. We sound stupid. We almost sound like it's a default answer. We'll watch the kicking game. It's the second time the Steelers have won a game scoring 18 points this year, with all 18 points being on 6 field goals by Chris Boswell, including a couple of really long ones. Meanwhile, Justin Tucker, best kicker in the world for most of the last decade, he struggles, misses a couple, ends up being a two-point game. Football is just weird that way. We like to think that we're really smart. If you like football and you want to analyze games, and I've been a sports writer for a long, long time, we have to do this. We have to look this offense versus this defense versus this offense, special teams, coaching, intangibles, home field advantage, all this. Sometimes dudes just miss kicks. That decides the game. And I mentioned on the Black and Gold Breakdown show last week, just really almost in passing at the end with Kreider and Bortner, Justin Tucker's not the same kicker he's been. All these games that the Ravens just could just count on him kicking a 55- or 57-yard field goal to tie or win or whatever, that's been a big part of who the Ravens have been for a long time. Well, that's not them anymore. He's missed 6 field goals this year, 2 yesterday, big deal. All right, so our question then today, and this is going to be kind of a lingering thing, are the Steelers a legitimate Super Bowl contender? If you want to tell me no, you're going to have to, explain. There's some splaining to do. Bills are 9-2. We think they're better than the Steelers. Chiefs are 9-1. We think they're better than the Steelers. I thought the Ravens were better than the Steelers. They're not. I mean, the Steelers in the regular season, anyway, that's 3 in a row. Even when the Steelers were kind of lousy for a good bit of last year, they still beat the Ravens twice in the regular season. So Steelers have a game and a half lead on the Ravens right now at 8-2. So, are they a legitimate Super Bowl contender? I'm still going to lean toward no. I still think the offense has some issues, especially red zone. I mean, Russell Wilson was okay yesterday, not great. But they made their field goals. And I would think a big part of it for me is the fact that I just think the Chiefs are not as good as maybe what we thought, what we'd like to believe, what they've been. Again, they're 9-1, but they have been really kind of escaping 16-14 against the Broncos, 30-24 against the Buccaneers. Let's see. 22-17 against the Falcons, 26-25 against the Bengals. That was preseason. So, you know, lost yesterday to the Bills, Josh Allen having a good game. So the Chiefs, you know, to me, they are the standard bearer until somebody knocks them off in the playoffs. But they're beatable. They're beatable. As good as Patrick Mahomes is, and that we know him to be, he's not having a good year at all. Patrick Mahomes, listen to this. He's got 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. 11th in the league in yards passing, 7th in QBR. 15-11, though. All right, so we've got the Steelers component there. We'll take your calls on that. Penn State, you can't put any stock in a win at Purdue. Purdue is just dreadful. They're 1-10. But Penn State now with two regular season games to go. We're a few weeks removed from the Ohio State loss, which means we're a few weeks removed from everybody wanting to just bury Penn State. And we're a few weeks removed from like the whole stages of grief process that I've talked about a lot over the years. After losing to Ohio State, Penn State fans everywhere, James Franklin can't win the big game. Penn State can't win the big game. Penn State's overrated. But you win a couple of games against bad teams, Washington, Purdue, and I get the sense that the pendulum has swung back. The optimism has swung back. The hopefulness has swung back. And now people are thinking, hey, well, Penn State, maybe they actually could get in the playoff, make a really long run. They've got Minnesota this week on the road, then a home game against Maryland, and then the playoff. You know, Minnesota, I think Minnesota has a decent team and a chance to maybe do something against Penn State this week. But Minnesota just lost to Rutgers. They go to Rutgers, they lose 26-19. They don't play well. They'd been playing well before that. You know, so with 1, 2, 3, 4 wins in a row. And look, I've said for months Minnesota's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a tough place to play. I don't think Minnesota's going to beat Penn State. It's a challenge in as much as you got to go on the road and not slip up. All the pressure is on Penn State to not slip up at this point. But then, you know, I'm watching Oregon versus Wisconsin late Saturday. My God, man, Oregon just looked so beatable. Wisconsin sucks. Wisconsin's got one of the worst offenses in the country. They fired their offensive coordinator yesterday. And Wisconsin almost beat Oregon. So if we think of things in a bubble, and this is what we do in a bubble, we think of our team, what they do well, what they don't do well. Everything is in a bubble about our team. But Oregon didn't look good at all against Wisconsin. Penn State had an easier time against Wisconsin, playing a backup quarterback in Bo Prabula, who had really never thrown any shown much ability to throw the ball. Penn State went out to Wisconsin, and once Bo got in the game, they just took it to him. Dillon Gabriel, a Heisman contender, Oregon's offense didn't look good at all against Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin's defense is terrible, and Wisconsin's offense is terrible, and Oregon's defense played very, very well. Oregon's got that win over Ohio State, and we think Oregon is really, really good. We think Ohio State's really, really good, but if Penn State's coaches don't drop the ball with horrific play calling inside the 5-yard line, Penn State ties that game at home with the momentum and has a real good chance to win the game. So if I ask you, how good is Penn State? Does Penn State have a legitimate shot? Well, in our little bubble of nitpicking James Franklin and nitpicking big games and nitpicking the wide receivers, which we can do fairly in every facet, who's any good in the rest of the country? Texas? I thought Texas was really good. Texas barely beat Arkansas. They're messing around with Arkansas. Oregon messing around with Wisconsin. I still think Ohio State and Georgia are right there and are going to be major factors to deal with. But at the end of the day, the best guess, the best answer I can give you is, I don't friggin' know. Do you? I thought Oregon would go in and wax Wisconsin. Like, absolutely pummel them. Almost lost. Almost lost to Wisconsin. They're trailing in the fourth quarter. Texas almost lost Arkansas. Now, Texas had more control of that game. But if I'm going to sit here and nitpick, my phone lines are messed up here. Clark's are waiting online, but it's not going through yet here, so just give me a second. If I'm going to sit here and nitpick all the things about Penn State, you can nitpick a lot of things about a lot of teams. Georgia, their quarterback throws a ton of interceptions. Ohio State messed around and almost lost to Penn State. Oregon almost lost to Wisconsin. Texas almost lost to Arkansas. Got hammered by Georgia earlier at home. Is there a great team out there? Is there a great team out there that on a neutral, folks, this is the key. Now, couple things here. As it stands right now, Penn State doesn't want to see any part of like Ole Miss or Alabama coming up here. Okay, that would be a terrible scenario. Okay, if Penn State's like a number 6 seed and they got to host an Ole Miss or Alabama in the first round, that's a tough task for a home game. But you think Penn State could still win that game. Is there another team in the country on a neutral field? Now, on a neutral field that you think, you know what, I'm just really scared of that team. I thought maybe Oregon, but, Penn State's defense is really good. I don't think Oregon's just going to come in and light up Penn State's defense. We got Clarkster here who wants to talk some Tyler Warren, who is having a tremendous year. What's up, man? How you doing?
Do you think – here's a question. Do you think he could be up for consideration for the Heisman?
Okay, I'm going to give you my answer. Corey Geiger in Altoona, Pennsylvania, Heisman
voter. Of course
you will. I'm a Heisman voter. I'm considering him.
Yes.
Okay, he's not going to. He doesn't have a prayer. He doesn't have a remote prayer. He's not among the top 10 odds. Look, say what you want about Vegas. Vegas doesn't miss on this stuff.
But who stands out?
Clarkson, listen to what I'm telling you. Drew Aller has higher odds, better odds to win the Heisman than Tyler Warren. What does that tell you about the way they think the voters are thinking?
Well, yeah, I know, but the media hypes and different things and everything. Tyler Warren is the next Josh Allen.
Oh, Josh Allen's a quarterback. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Tyler Warren's not a quarterback.
If he could throw deep, you know.
That'd be interesting. Maybe. That'd be interesting. He was a quarterback in high school. I will tell you, look, I am a Heisman voter. And I think I speak for any Heisman voter of their ilk who does this job the right way. I will consider him. I will give him tremendously strong consideration. Whether I will vote for you, vote first place, second place, third place. That's the way it goes. You put vote first place, second place, third place. I will consider him. I absolutely will. There are a number of guys on the Penn State beat that have a Heisman vote. If I had to guess, it's about a dozen. I'll guarantee they're all going to consider him.
How many get invited to New York?
Five. Usually five, sometimes three, four. I mean, it depends on who. I think it's actually four. It's usually four. Depends on who. How close the vote is, how legitimate of a shot that they think people actually have. But what I'm telling you is this. Whether or not I'm considered – he has no prayer. He has no prayer, okay? Unless he starts catching 12 passes a game, because even though we know how good he is and even though I can make a case that he might be the best football player in the country, he's a tight end. No tight end is ever going to have a prayer – At the Heisman. This is a quarterback. I looked at the odds last night at 11 o'clock. Drew Aller is in like the top 10 among odds. Tyler Warren's nowhere to be found. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? I mean, Drew Aller doesn't belong within 50 miles of the Heisman, and he's got better odds than Tyler Warren. That's ridiculous.
But I just throw it up for consideration because all you hear – when you see Penn State on there, is Tyler Warren. When's he going to do the next thing or whatever? Anyway, moving on to another venue. We have a Philly versus Altoona matchup coming the end of the week.
What we got?
Hollidaysburg versus Roman Catholic.
Okay, very good. Roman Catholic pretty good?
Well, they're probably the fourth team in that league.
Okay.
Because of demographics and student population and declaring for, 6A versus... 2A versus 4A and whatever. But St. Joe's Prep is number one. LaSalle is number two. It's not going to even be in it because they lost after going undefeated to St. Joe's Prep. They beat Prep, and then they lost in the districts. And then third or fourth place is either Monsignor Bonner, who's still alive in their group, and Roman Catholic. So you're getting potentially the fourth place team down here.
So Hollidaysburg's got a shot here.
Well, sure.
Hollidaysburg's got a good football team. They're used to playing bigger teams, so, Altoona or State College, they're used to playing some teams that have some size or strength. So, hey, I give Hollidaysburg a good shot.
It's a neutral game in Mechanicsburg. It's 2 hours either way for each team. So, Now, another question. Do you think the second round of the college playoffs will foster a lot of discussion because of where they may be played?
Which bowl games or seeding or what?
Yes, the bowl games.
I haven't given a lot of thought to that yet because
where's Detroit and where's Indianapolis?
Sure, yeah, you're talking about like if a team has somewhat of a regional home field advantage. I'm going to need to look at that to see if they've put safeguards in to try to prevent that.
Because all the bowl games, generally speaking, of any magnitude, are south.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, it's like the Peach Bowl. I don't know that they're going to let Georgia in there, okay? Like, they used to do that with the NCAA tournament. You used to be able to play an NCAA tournament game on your home court. You can't do that anymore. They did away with it a long time ago.
No, but you get a region. You get
your regional, correct. But so, if it's a Peach Bowl and it's Georgia, would they specifically move Georgia out of a given Peach Bowl slot to prevent that? I don't know the answer to that.
You would hope so.
Let me go back to the Heisman thing. Okay,
yes.
Here's the Heisman odds for FanDuel. They've got 15 players listed, including number 15 is Jake Retzliff from BYU, plus 40,000. Okay, so you bet $100, you win $40,000. Okay, that's the 15th highest player. Drew Aller on this list is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Drew Aller's 10th at plus 25,000. You bet $100, you win $25,000. Tyler Warren will get some consideration for the Heisman. He has no prayer to make a big dent.
Well, maybe they'll have illegals voting, and maybe it'll skew the election.
Good one. Appreciate it, man. 946-0435. I will absolutely give Tyler Warren consideration for the Heisman. Everything that guy can do, fantastic.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5, Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
The holidays are here, a time when family surrounds the dinner table and warm memories are created. Mel and Chris at Kepner's Grandview Meats help you to create the perfect Christmas table, rib roast centerpiece, fillets, tenderloin roast, or how about a beautiful standing rib roast? Mel, Chris, and their family wish you and your family the warmest holiday season. Follow the old paths to Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experienced with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get the deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
It's getting hot in here. 9460435. I was going to get to it a little bit later, but Doug Herendeen just stepped in the studio and said, "What do you think of the fight?" How many of you watched that Mike Tyson, Jake Paul nonsense? What a fiasco. What a fiasco that was. Okay? You know, My opinion, that fight was rigged. If there's anybody out there who watched that fight, saw highlights of the fight, read about the fight, try to convince me that fight wasn't rigged. Try to convince me that wasn't Mike Tyson out there just taking a damn payday. Because, now look, Rob in Bedford called the other day, Thursday or Friday on this. Rob's a huge, huge boxing guy. Followed boxing. He watches all these boxing matches. And he made a point that said, 20 years ago, when Mike was 38, he was getting into the ring with bums. Like bums who had no business in the ring with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson! Baddest man alive. But here's the thing. This is what I'm going to ask everybody. Is there a bigger myth than Mike Tyson's legacy? Mike Tyson was great for maybe, I got to wait and look and see exactly when he lost to Buster Douglas. Because Mike Tyson was great until for 3-4 years. All right? And once he lost to Buster Douglas, oh my God, like, you know, all the luster went off. Let's see. So he competed, let's see, he first disputed in 1987 to 90, won his first 19 bouts, and was the youngest heavyweight champion ever. Then he lost to Buster Douglas in 1990 when he was 24 years old. All right, so Mike Tyson had basically a nice, awesome four-year run. And he's been living off it forever. I gotta get Rob's thoughts on this, because maybe I'm way off on here. Rob, you're a boxing expert. Is there a bigger myth in sports history than Mike Tyson being the baddest man alive?
Well, his career ended the night that he lost to Buster Douglas, because it never regained form after that. He got knocked out in short order after that. He got himself thrown in prison for, what, 3-4 years? And that's derailing to a boxing career. You can get out and you can get back into sport, but it's virtually impossible. Even if he would have had the discipline, even if he would have had the outside of the ring, he still wouldn't have probably gotten back to where he was. He might have gotten a lot further back, but he was able to get the Lennox Lewis fight because of the reputation, let's say, his markability. Probably got both of the Vander fights, because the first fight was at least good enough that it warranted a rematch as far as public demand, and you saw what kind of joke that was.
Okay, but here's the thing. Mike Tyson went to prison, okay, over, and I want to make sure I get this exactly right, because there was convicted of raping an 18-year-old Desiree Washington, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we like Mike Tyson? Okay, you see what I'm getting at? This was like the most heavily bet boxing match in from what I can gather, decades, okay? 60 million people, Netflix says, watched this fiasco of I can't even say beatdown. They didn't do anything. I think Mike landed 18 punches in the entire fight, for God's sake. Mike Tyson went to prison convicted of raping an 18-year-old girl, was sentenced to 6 years in prison. Why do we have to feel like it's transforming us to our youth seeing Mike Tyson being the baddest man alive, when quite frankly, why do we root for Mike Tyson at all?
Well, we had such a good conversation Friday that I literally didn't even get to probably half of what I wanted. And this was one of the things I did want to get to. We just ran out of time. If you think about it, and you're answering my question for me, he should have been canceled half a dozen times, not just the conviction of rape, which is about as bad as it gets without killing someone. He's had a handful of out of the ring legal incidents aside from that, you know, involving scuffling with people and putting hands on people.
When during the height of his fame, he's on TV with Robin Givens, his wife at the time, the actress, saying that she's scared of him. I think they were talking to Barbara Walters on 2020. I mean, so here's the point I'm trying to make. Why do we root for Mike Tyson?
I was going to ask you the same thing. It's something about him being charismatic, a scumbag, but charismatic. Boxing being the heavyweight division, it being an American fighter, he was basically a teenager and a knockout artist. Those kind of things sell. But yeah, I'm with you. There was more than the writing on the wall over the last 30 years, but yet people still, you know, want to see him for whatever reason. And that fight went to script how I said it was going to go.
Yes.
I said the first round, he's going to come out, and we're talking 58. I'm basing off of a 38-year-old is about where it ends for a lot of guys. This is 258 as far as ring years, and he did do his best round was the first. The second, you could make the case maybe he won the second, but from the third on, he lost every second.
Do I have that right?
He was an old man that you can't throw when you can't breathe, and he was shot by the end of the second round. What I'd expect.
Do I have it right that he landed 18 punches?
That sounds right, and probably nine of them might have been the first round he had output.
Was this rigged? Was this Mike Tyson?
No, it's not rigged. It was an old man that could not fight.
What I'm saying is Mike Tyson. I said the other day. I don't know if you caught this. Jake Paul's net worth is $80 million. Jake Paul invented Prime sports drink. Jake Paul is probably going to be worth $200-300 million when all is said and done. Mike Tyson's worth is $10 million. Mike Tyson disappeared basically until the hangover brought him back and he punches Zach Galifianakis while doing the Phil Collins in the air tonight drum beat. Mike Tyson has disappeared. From what I can gather, Mike was going to get paid $20 million for this. Now, after taxes and agent and all that stuff, he doubled his net worth. If his net worth was 10, he'll get another 10 for this. He doubled his net worth to stand and walk around and do nothing. That, to me, sounds like a rigged fight.
Why was he walking around? The reason why he's walking around is because he's 60 years old almost.
Yeah.
That's a young man's sport. But back to what you said before that, and now I kind of lost my train of thought, but you were saying about being in a hangover and his net worth. Oh, yeah. I can't believe he even has $10 million. I mean, he sued Don King for $100 million because he's that, you know, negligent and not on top of his own business deals that he claimed $100 million got swindled right from under his nose. I can't believe the guy even has $10 million left.
It's amazing to me why our society would back this guy. For a four-year period, he was the baddest man alive. Mike Tyson punch out and all that stuff. And it's almost like it almost validates our youth if we think of Mike Tyson being an awesome boxer, which he's never been. He would get in, he would destroy you in a minute or two. Beyond that, what is Mike Tyson? I think he's one of the most overrated athletes in the history of sports.
I mean, he's definitely lived outside of his prime. He's ran laps around it. But that prime was barely duplicated. I mean, even as great as Ali was, it was a different style. And it's something about the heavyweight division. It's something about it being an American fighter. And since then, I mean, we're kind of still looking for that American fighter. I mean, in the last 40 years, think about it. Lennox Lewis was awesome, not an American fighter. And I could name a lot of other guys, but there really hasn't been that juggernaut atop the division. There's been a lot of busts and would-a-bees, but it hasn't panned out. And you can see that's why, you know, they get so revered is because maybe it just, you know, goes generations without any kind of interest in that division.
Yeah, it's wild. It's crazy, man. Did you watch the whole thing? Were you able to get your Netflix to work?
See, that's, boy, did they wear egg on their face. Like, how are they not prepared? That this is the first time dipping their feet into boxing waters, and it's by far their biggest event of 2024. And my Lord, did they miss the boat? Did they get left holding the bag? I was quite aggravating. I haven't spoken to anyone yet that didn't have problems, but it was pretty much turbulent from start to finish. I had problems with it.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate the call. All right, 946-0435. Let's see. We got caller number two. What's up, buddy? You want to talk some boxing? What's going on?
Well, Corey, we talked before the fight. I'll say three things. Who's Don King's hairdresser, or who was? Two, when Customato died, Tyson died.
Mm-hmm.
And he was never the same fighter. He kept him in line. And that was the worst. The third thing I'll say is that was the worst. I was anticipating incredible disappointment, especially the fights before that where these people really pounded the crap out of each other. And then you get this where they danced. Within about 40 seconds of the fight starting, I said, this is staged, because Tyson never even tried. I think they were just, let's get through eight rounds. And then when Paul bows to him, and the fight's not even over. I mean, it was a show, and it was a joke.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, Netflix, I've long had a Netflix account. You pay $10, $11, $12, whatever dollars a month. It's not a significant deal. For all, Netflix is one of the great values in our society for all the things you can get. There's almost too much on Netflix. You get Netflix paralysis trying to scroll through everything to figure out what you want to watch. So it's not like people were forking over $50, $70 to watch this fight. Because if they had, and then we would have seen something rigged and staged like this, I think there'd be a lot more outrage.
Well, the people who paid tickets to get in ought to be upset. I don't know how much those tickets were, but it was such a joke. I mean, you're a fight guy. You've watched fights. That was, and for anybody. I heard that they want a rematch or Tyson wants another fight. Just to watch him walk back to his side of the ring after each round, he looked like he could hardly make it. I mean, it was a joke.
Yeah.
So for either of them to ever, if either of them ever have a fight again, I sure won't watch it.
You're an old guy. I want old guy opinion on this. Why psychologically do we feel like we need to support Mike Tyson? Why? What did he do to us in knocking people out in a minute for almost 40 years ago? What did he do to us then that makes us want to root for this version of what, quite frankly, is a scumbag human being?
Yeah, he's a dark character. I think he's considered a tragic figure, like a lot of guys. He had a rough upbringing, I guess. D'Amato saved him from the streets, then he dies.
Here's the thing, man. When you're convicted of rape and you go to prison and the world can't wait for you to come box some YouTuber 25 years later, there's something wrong there.
I'm not disagreeing. I don't think they think of that as much as, that he's not partially responsible for himself, which is a terrible thing. He should be responsible for himself, but once again, a tragic figure. That's how people are. And I think they feel bad for him, which is interesting because of what you just said.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. 946-0435. We got Andy on the line. Wants to talk some basketball. What's going on, Andy?
I'm doing okay. Corey, I'm telling you who's going to win the men's and women's NCAA tournament.
Okay,
right now.
Let's go. Who you got?
Do not bet the mortgage on this, but put it in ink, okay? I don't want Dana and your kids to be pissed at me because you bet the mortgage on my selection.
On your hunch on November 18th. Go ahead. I'm curious.
I don't want your family to be pissed at me.
All right, very good.
Okay, so the men, I'm going with Kansas. The ladies, I'm going with Duke.
Duke, I haven't followed women's basketball really at all. So
you don't like women's sports. You don't think women should play sports because it's a man.
Wait a minute. Whoa. You're not. Don't put words in my mouth like that. I support women playing sports. I support competition. I support women competing and trying to get achievements as much as they possibly can. I don't support transgender men going to play women's sports. I'm not going to watch the WNBA, but I'll support them if they want to play.
Well, when I first started calling in, you were against women's sports, and you were against women covering sports. You must have changed.
Wait a minute. You're going to accuse me of something like that? You don't know what the F you're talking about, all right? I'm hanging up on you right now because that's absurd. That's absurd, okay? You're going to call my show, and you're going to make that kind of accusation against me? To hell with you, man. You ever call this show again and say something like that, you'll never get back on the air. You hear what I'm telling you? I hung up on him already, so maybe he's not hearing me. At no point, that's absolutely 1,000,000,000% wrong. At no point, you a-hole, have I ever been against women's sports. When I first got here in 1999, I covered the St. Francis women's basketball team for 5 years. They made some NCAA tournaments. Awesome. I loved it. To this day, some of the best athletes that I've ever covered, or some of the best experiences I've ever covered covering athletes, was that those St. Francis women. You know why? Because they were cool. They were awesome. They were friendly. They were funny. They were emotional. They weren't emotionally stuck dudes like a lot of male athletes. Quite frankly, in a lot of ways, to cover female athletes is far more rewarding than covering men, because men have to feel like they have to be macho and mine's bigger than yours at all times. Women will actually show emotions. I dealt with that a great deal 25 years ago with the St. Francis women, and I have great respect for any woman that's going to compete at a high level. No, I don't like women's basketball. I don't watch it. I'm not going to watch it. That, and to say what you said about me being against women covering sports, F you, man. Don't you ever call my show ever again and accuse me of something like that. That's absolutely preposterous. I've had a lot of friends in this business, that female friends that have covered women's sports. Don't you dare try to reduce me to that level with some kind of ridiculous accusation. You're banned. You're not getting back on the show. Don't ever call me again, jerk. Okay. Steve in Duncansville. What's going on, Steve? How you doing?
Hey, buddy. There's a David, the great philosopher, David Lee Ross says,
okay,
everybody's got a butthole and everybody's got a critic. That guy just said what he said to you is a butthole.
Hey, I've known Andy for a long time. Andy says a lot of crazy things, but you're not going to make sexist accusations like that against me. I'm not standing for that.
You know, I support women's sports, but I don't watch women's sports. It's like I said, I take libertarians, hey, fine and stuff, you know. But, I mean, like I said, I believe in women's sports, but I just don't watch them. Not interested. Not that I don't think they have a right to play. That's my deal. But, yeah, I'll say this. I'll say what George Foreman said, from 19 years old until he's 24, like that one guy said, until his manager died, Tyson was the baddest fighter. I'd have put him up against anybody in the past, Ollie, Frazier, and all those guys, and I think he would have beat them. That's my opinion. I think he's one of the greatest fighters.
It's interesting because he was not one of the greatest fighters. He could knock you out. But if you got, I mean, Ali, Foreman, Frazier, all those guys, if they would have gotten to like the third round against Mike, I think they would have whooped his ass.
I don't know about that. Now, the generation after Tyson, you got to realize Tyson as a heavyweight was about 210, 212. Now, would I think he could survive with Tyson Fury, the Klitschko brothers, Lennox, Lewis, even if he didn't go to prison for 4 years? You got to realize we're not just heavyweights. We're super heavyweights. Guys away from 250 to 260 that are athletic, that can box.
The thing is, though, Steve, Tyson was never a great boxer. He was a great puncher, and if he nailed one, you were in big trouble. But if he went up against, again, Lennox Lewis was a great boxer. Lennox Lewis was a tremendous champion and boxer and tactician. When Tyson ever went up against anybody like that, he was not going to beat those guys.
Well, I'll say this about Tyson, and you're right about a lot of stuff, his boxing skills, but Tyson had speed. He just wasn't a power, because, you know, some of them, he's like, holy
holy shnikes.
Yeah. Hey, and another thing, I think if Patrick Mahomes had any good wide receivers, they would be way ahead of everybody. It's like I said, he don't have no wide receivers. You know, I mean, he doesn't have none. I mean, he's carrying the team on his shoulders. So, I mean, I don't know what you think about that, but if they got him T. Higgins next year or something like that, I think they'd be dangerous. So, I'm getting back to work.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. By the way, Lennox Lewis knocked out Mike Tyson in the eighth round in 2002, just for the history lesson there. Lennox Lewis knocked out Mike Tyson 22 years ago. So, 22, Mike would have been 36. And here's what Rob says on that e-text. When Tyson fought Lewis, he had a near-identical night, a very active first round, landed his best punches of the night, likely didn't even come close to winning another round. That was 22 years ago, and Tyson was shot then. That's what Rob said. Rob's my boxing guy. All right, Jerry in Bellwood, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I couldn't believe last Friday how many people called into your show actually saying Tyson might win.
I know, yeah.
Could win. I was just shocked because I don't know anybody, any sport, where a 58-year-old –
two things. One, the psychological component of it, from we're trying to relive what our life was like in 1990. And two, the puncher's chance. Like, if he would have come out and nailed one big blow in the first round, he could have, but that was his only chance to win.
Yeah, I don't even think he has a big blow left. But
yeah. And funny. Again, especially by the way, this was overlooked. Last, they're wearing 14-ounce gloves. 14-ounce gloves are very soft, and so that's a much bigger difference.
I think they were 20-ounce gloves.
No, they were 14. They instead of 10, they were wearing 14-ounce gloves.
Well, I think the match reminded me more of the Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King match than anything, because that was a joke too. I mean, she was playing an old guy, and they had the rules all bent towards her. I mean, they made it the Battle of the Sexes, and you know, this was as big a joke. Well, this was actually probably even a bigger joke than that match was, and how the importance that they put on that match at the time, which I never understood. But anyway, I wanted to talk about football. I think that the Steelers, if they survive these next bunch of games, you know, they're definitely Super Bowl contenders, you know, because their schedule coming up is going to be a killer.
But they're already through the Ravens round one. Got the Browns twice. The Browns aren't any good. You got the Bengals a couple times.
Yeah, sure.
You got the Chiefs and the Eagles. And look, it is a very difficult schedule. But the Chiefs are at home. Okay, so are we still buying in on the Chiefs? I'm not just saying because they lost last night, but are we buying in on the Chiefs as much as we were a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, I don't think, you know, Mahomes is kind of like Tom Brady. You just don't ever bet against him.
Sure.
I mean, not in the big games, I don't think. And as far as Penn State goes, I still feel they can't, until he proves he can win a big game, I don't think they can win a national title, but I hope I'm wrong.
Here's the thing, like, if they're a sixth seed, if they get a good first-round matchup and win, the second-round matchup is Miami. Miami.
Yeah, I mean,
Miami's not. So then you're in the Final Four if you could beat Miami on a neutral field. And I think Penn State could probably handle Miami pretty good.
Well, the bottom line is they'll get to prove it on the field with this upcoming schedule.
And
one, since I'm covering all levels of football, I got one other controversial thing to say, and that's there's no way in, you know what, the BG should be single A. I mean, all power to them for winning, but that's ridiculous to put a private school as a single A contender. I mean, they just outmatch all these single A teams. I mean, I think it's ridiculous.
That's a good discussion for another day. And I've had those classification discussions a lot over the years, but that's a good one for another day. Thank you, buddy. Hey, we got George now tuning in. George, I got to take a break here. I'll get to you after the break.
Kyle Busch, you know, that two-time Cup Series champion. Well, he's going to be making his debut in the 39th Chili Bowl Midget Nationals coming up in January. Kyle's going to be driving the number 51 Midget with sponsorship from Lucas Oil and Flow Racing. And as a tune-up, the 39-year-old driver is going to compete in the USAC National Midget event at Bakersfield Speedway on November 26th and Ventura Speedway November 30th before competing in the Chili Bowl Nationals. Fresh off his Phoenix Xfinity Series win, Riley Herbst has grabbed his second straight Baja 1000 win in the Trophy Truck Spec category. The number 219 truck finished first in its class, scored a sixth-place finish overall in the 2024 Baja 1000 that featured 183 entries. Voting for the Cup Series Most Popular Driver Award has begun, and the current top five are Ryan Blaney, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, and Martin Truex Jr. Of course, Hendrick Motorsports driver Chase Elliott has won the Most Popular Driver Award for six straight seasons, 2018 through 23. The top five drivers in the NASCAR Xfinity Series voting currently are Justin Allgaier, A.J. Allmendinger, Shane Van Gisbergen, Parker Kligerman, and Jesse Love. Over in the Truck Series, we are looking at Raja Carruth, Christian Eckes, Grant Enfinger, Corey Heim, and the 2024 champion Ty Majeski. Vote for your favorite drivers at NASCAR.com. Polls close this Thursday, November 21st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. You're on the final lap.
Imagine a world where animals and humans coexist in harmony, where wild animals thrive, habitats are protected, and marginalized communities are empowered. At International Animal Rescue, this is our vision. Our holistic, community-led projects not only rescue animals, but also protect and replenish precious habitats, creating a better future for us all. But we can't do this without you. Show your support now and help keep the wild, wild. Visit internationalanimalrescue.org.
Oh no, my phone. Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for Watch and Tap. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at BoswellPipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back. Sports Central brought to you every day by J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. We appreciate their sponsorship and support of our program. Head on over there for pipes, cigars, tobacco blends. They won't rush in and out of the store. They'll let you have a good experience. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. If you go by there, J.M. Boswell's, tell them that I was talking about them on Sports Central and how much I tremendously appreciate their support of our little program. We got George in Altoona. We got a lot of boxing calls here the last couple shows. George, what do you got, man?
Hey, the guy that gets overlooked in all the discussion because you guys jump from Ali to like Lennox Lewis is Larry Holmes.
Okay.
Larry Holmes was incredible. He beat Tyson too.
I don't know a lot, but you're right. He does get overlooked for a lot of that time period because of the bigger names.
For 8 straight years.
Yep. He was 7. He was
59-6, and all six losses were in world title bouts.
He won his first 48 professional bouts. I'm looking. I mean, that's fell one short of matching Rocky R. Marciano, 49-0. He lost to Michael Spinks in 85. That's fascinating. I was not necessarily.
But he came back and he beat Tyson later than that.
Let's see, 88. He beat Tyson in 88. It looks like.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, I don't know a lot about Larry Holmes because at that point in my life, I was focusing on Tyson and Marvin Hagler and Sugar Ray and those kind of guys. But yeah, I mean, Larry's going to get overlooked by the likes of Ali and Frazier and Foreman and all those guys. And Larry never went on to create a little grill that made chicken either. So, but no, just looking over it here, George, you're right. I mean, Larry Holmes looked like he had an incredible career.
Yeah, and he fought up until he was 52.
You think that fight was fixed the other rigged, you yeah. staged?
Oh, the other night?
Yep.
Yeah, well, to go the distance, I think it probably was. I think probably Jake Paul could have hurt him, you know, after the first couple rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, for it to go the whole distance, and I guess that was probably for TV.
Yeah, let's see. And I'm looking at this right here. Because I think you said, and I might mean that he beat Tyson. He did not. Tyson won by technical knockout in the it looks like the seventh round. It looks like.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around. I think the Wikipedia has him beaten Tyson.
I'm looking at Wikipedia here. I'm looking at the actual fight itself because I think whenever I looked at Holmes' Wikipedia, it said that he beat Tyson. But now that I'm looking at the actual fight itself, the entry. It says, blah, 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 right hook that dropped Holmes for the third time in the round, after which the ref stopped the fight and awarded Tyson the victory by technical knockout. So
Well, that might have been a title. That was a title fight.
Yeah, and it was 1988, too. So Holmes was, I mean, Holmes was an old guy. This was Tyson in his prime.
That was 15 years. Yeah. I think Holmes, that was 15 years into his career.
And that was definitely Tyson in the middle of the Iron Mike, you know, baddest man alive kind of face.
But it was also a title fight is what I'm saying. It wasn't.
Yeah, that he had in 88, Good stuff, man. Appreciate it, George. 946-0435. We can sneak in another call or two after the break if you want to give me a call.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at BoswellPipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Let's go!
ABC Wednesday, country music's biggest night, the CMA Awards.
Let's party, Nashville!
Kicks off with this year's must-see collaboration, Post Malone featuring Chris Stapleton, live. With electrifying performances by Lainey Wilson, Shaboozy, Ashley McBride, Luke Bryan, plus Thomas Rhett and Teddy Swims.
Woo!
Luke Bryan, Peyton Manning, and Lainey Wilson host the CMA Awards live Wednesday, 8, 7 Central on ABC and stream next day on Hulu.
Choosing the right candidates for any office can be difficult.
My office has lots of drama.
I share my office. But no matter what kind of office you have, if you're hiring, you need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology finds the most qualified candidates for your roles fast. So, for any kind of office.
I'm really going places in my office.
Count on ZipRecruiter to find the right candidates for it. Try ZipRecruiter for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Hank FM.
I'm amused and surprised and thrilled of all the interesting boxing calls we've had over the last 2 shows. Friday we had like 6. Today we had 4. That fight was. I'm not sure rigged is the right word. Staged to me, maybe that's the more appropriate word, because I don't think Mike Tyson wanted anything to do with anything getting hit, and it was just a disgrace. But the bigger thing I want to point out here is, why were we rooting for Mike Tyson? Go back and look at Mike Tyson's history, okay? He's not the kind of guy you want to be rooting for. So what does it say about us from a psychological standpoint that we're longing for that guy from 1988 to come back, you know, when we were younger and how awesome he was and all that stuff? Because the guy spent 3 years in prison after getting convicted for raping a girl. The TV interview with Robin Givens saying she was scared of Mike. I mean, are these things that we want to be heralding for a guy 35 years later? Anyway, food for thought. All right, tomorrow, again, we're gonna have this discussion on the Steelers and Penn State a good bit over the coming weeks of, are they legitimate championship contenders? Which one more so than the other? I mean, hey, look, the Steelers to me, man, they're getting closer and closer in my mind. Plus, we got Black and Gold Breakdown tomorrow as well.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC 13.